Hadassah, and I'm so excited to welcome you to Real Woman, Real Torah, a project of Bacheva Learning Center. We're here to offer you an authentic Torah learning experience, produced for woman, by woman. I hope you enjoy. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our monthly Mimer series. This month, for Chodesh Adar Beis, we're going to be learning a really fascinating Mimer called Alkein Karu from Tavshin Yud Gimel. And we have here with us Shendel Sharfstein, who's going to be learning the Mimer with us. Honored to have you here.
Thanks, Hadassah. Excited to be here. Okay, should we get started?
Yeah, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself first.
Sure. So my name is Shendel Sharfstein. I'm living in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. I am very excited to be here because, first of all, it was very powerful for me to open up this Mimer and delve into it. I'm a new mother, and it's been a while since I got to focus on a Mimer. And I'm really happy to share what I've learned.
That's awesome. Yeah, this Mimer for me personally also is something that I've learned many times over the years, and it's always been something that was really striking to me, how, I guess, like deep and profound the message of this Mimer is. So I'm very excited that you chose this one. All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing Mimer. It takes a concept we've all heard of and experienced. It takes randomness, lottery tickets, and it describes it on the deepest level. We all know that Purim is a pretty happy and chaotic holiday, but do we know that the goal of Purim is to reach the level of this chaos, this randomness, the Pur? So that's what this Mimer talks about. And before we dive in though, I'm first going to share the background of the Mimer. Then we'll read some parts and discuss our findings. In the end, the deepest and most esoteric part of the Mimer, we'll be talking and discussing together and delving in and figuring out what it means. Okay, so the Mimer was said, this year was Tavshin Yud Gimel, 1953. And it was a strange night. There was a farbringen happening, the Rebbe said a Mimer, and suddenly the Chassidim noticed that the Rebbe was about to say another Mimer. The signs were there. So right before he said this Mimer, a chassid had gone up to him, Rabbi Shmuel Levitin, and he asked the Rebbe, can you please give us a bracha for the Jews who are still in Russia under Stalin's rule? And I'm not sure what happened there, but then the Rebbe said a story. This is preceding the Mimer that the Rebbe is about to say. The Rebbe said a story, and the story took place in the times of the Rebbe Rashab. It was the fall of the Tsar. And suddenly voting was allowed in Russia. And so the Rashab told all of his chassidim to go vote. So there was one chassid, he did not have any idea what voting was. But nonetheless, the Rebbe told him to do something. And so he went to the mikvah, he put on a gartel, he walked into the polling booths, and he voted. As he walks out, he hears these shouts, hoorah, hoorah, which in Russian is hooray, hooray. And he thought, okay, this must be part of the polling experience. And so he starts shouting, hoorah, hoorah. But in his mind, as he's shouting it, he's thinking, hoorah, he is bad. That's the Hebrew translation. So the Rebbe is finishing the story. And as he finishes the story, he himself starts saying, hoorah. And the Hasidim follow along, and everyone's saying, hoorah, hoorah. And then after a long bit of hoorah, the Rebbe starts the Mimer, this Mimer, Alkein Karu. It was found out a week or two, or I'm not sure how long afterwards, that at this time period, Stalin actually died or had a stroke. And that's amazing.
I think it's also fascinating how almost relevant this is to current events right now with everything going on in Ukraine. And I think after learning the Mimer, it makes the message of the Mimer so much more relevant to what's happening.
Definitely.
So cool.
Okay, great. Okay, so the Mimer begins with a quote from the Megillah, which is Alkein Karu Layamim Ha'ela Purim Al Shem HaPur, which means for this reason the days were called Purim in memory of the Pur, the lottery that Haman cast. So The first few questions of the mimer, I'm just going to say outside that we're trying to figure out why is Purim called Purim? Because usually whenever you have the name of a holiday or the name of anything, that represents the essence of the holiday. So obviously the word Purim, the word lottery, has a, there's something essential about a lottery that represents Purim. So initially, the couple questions are asked, and one of them, for example, is why would Purim, the lottery, represent the holiday? The lottery was the bad part. That's when Haman cast lots. That's when he said that the Jews are going to get killed during this month, during Adar. That's one question. Another question is, wasn't the Purim story a miracle, a day that Hashem chose us to be saved? But a lottery is so random. Are you saying that Hashem didn't choose us to be saved? It just happened? So these are some initial questions. So now we're going to jump over to Ice Bays in the Mimer, and we're going to learn a little bit inside.
Yeah, so I'm just going to jump in here for a second. What we're going to do, I think this is actually going to be a really interesting way of learning the Mimer. We're going to be pulling out little parts here, and we're going to actually look at four different levels at which we as human beings make choices. And that's going to parallel sort of four levels within Elikus, right? Sort of levels at which Hashem, so to speak, makes a choice. And we're going to sort of, that's going to help us sort of get down to the bottom of what is a lottery really all about. Yeah,
amazing. Let's go ahead. Okay, so we're going to skip over to Ice Bays. We're going to start with in the middle of Ice Bays. Here we go. Yuvan behektim d'inyan hagayral hu lemaila me'aseichol. So the matter that we just discussed can be understood with the concept that a lottery, a gayral, is a level above intellect. Shaharei gayral hu b'chal b'shnei devarim shavim. Because a lottery happens when there are two matters that are equal. U'kmo shnei d'kasher echad mehem hu taiv yaser. For one is better than the other, in makom gayral. Lottery is not important. It's not relevant. V'dafka k'sheshnei hadvarim heim shavim, only specifically when the two objects are equal. Kevan since shemitzad ha-seichel e efshar l'achre be'ezem mehem l'vchar, because intellectually it's impossible to choose which one to deselect. Saimchim az al ha-gayrol shelamayla me'aseichel. You have to rely on the lottery, which transcends intellect, to make your choice or to reveal your choice. So, okay. So that's one level, that lottery is higher, intellect, seichel. And now we're going to skip over to Ice Gimel, which is going to tell us about how lottery is above another level. So here we go, Ice Gimel. We are going to start with the beginning of the ice, where it says, V'hine yedua b'mailas ha-gayrol. It's known that the major quality of a gayrol, a lottery, shehu l'maila, Loi rak me'aseichel, that it transcends, it's above, not only intellect, ela gam meheratzen shelamayla me'aseichel, but also even the will that comes above intellect. Shehari kesha'adam matel gayrol hu machlit, for when a person casts a lot, hu machlit, he decides, dekmai sheyipol ha'gayrol keni hi eretzayinai, that the lot will choose his will, it will determine what he wants. Yimzeh muchach sha'gayrol magib bedarga shelamayla gam meheratzen. And this shows that a lottery reaches a level higher than even ratzon. Shalachin haratzon hu kafi hagayrol. And lottery, gayrol, actually determines a person's will.
Yeah, I think just to stop here for a second, I think even we can sort of relate to this in our own experience, right? Like there's some decisions we make. I think a lot of decisions we make are just logical decisions, and logical in the sense that like there's something about one option that's more appealing, that has more... Mm-hmm. It's going to be more convenient. It's going to be more satisfying or enriching or whatever in some way to our lives. And that's why we choose it. And that's mm-hmm. like the most basic level of choice. And then Ratzayin is sort of this deeper part of ourselves that just feels drawn to things, not necessarily for a logical reason, but it's still drawn to particular things. Like there's something about our nature that is drawn to certain things and not others. And that's Ratzayin. And Gerol, which is sort of this, I guess we haven't really defined exactly what Gerol is yet, but it's sort of this... Mm-hmm. level that is higher than both of those things, right? Because if I decide to cast a lot, I'm saying that I can't decide either from a piece of seichel or from a piece of ratzon. Like nothing is drawing me to either option. So like I need to just let chance decide, right? Because like
right. Right. On a personal level, sometimes I employ the use of a lottery for things that for me don't matter too much. Let's say paint colors. If I reach to a conclusion between two, I might just pull it out of a hat if it doesn't really matter to me at the end of the day.
Right, right. And I feel like what's interesting in this mimer is that it, like, we use, right, like on the one hand, Geirel seems just like random, right? Like there's no significant. It's almost like, yeah, like when a choice isn't significant, that's when you use a Geirel. But like at the same time, we're also in this mimer, we're talking about Geirel in a way as something that's deeper than Ratzain, right? Like not as like, because it's so insignificant and so irrelevant and so random, but like there's something so much deep, like it's almost like a reflection of like a deeper part of the person than the Ratzain and Seichel.
Nice. Yeah. Just want to remind myself that we're discussing this because the mimer is asking, what is it about a lottery that makes it the essence of Purim?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So there must be something about Geirel that's like, in a sense, like the same way practically it's what determines your will. Like there's Geirel sort of represents this level that's deeper, like also within Hashem, right? There's Hashem has this level of Seichel, right? Or Hishtal Shalos. Hashem has this level of Ratzain, which is higher than Hishtal Shalos. And then Hashem, so to speak, has this level of relating to the world that's called Geirel. Mm-hmm. And Geirel is when Hashem's saying like this, I'm reaching a place that's deeper than both Seichel and Ratzain in some way.
Okay, so that actually leads in perfectly to the example that's given in the mimer.
Right.
Which is that Purim and Yom Kippur, which is Yom Kippurim, day like Purim, both of them have the idea of lottery in them. And that's going to explain a little more about what lottery, what Geirel is. So we know that Purim has the idea of lottery in it, and Yom Kippur, when there were two goats chosen, I think is in the Avodah. Yeah. So the question is, they were both super equal. They both looked the same. They were both, I guess, the same weight, the same colors, and they had to be chosen by lot as to which one would go to Azazel. So both of them have the matter of lottery. This example is given in the mimer, and both of them have another thing that's relevant to both of them, and that is that both reveal the level of Ratzain. So the second similarity between Yom Kippur and Purim is that both transcend Havaya. How so? Because Purim actually doesn't even have the name of Hashem in the Megillah, so it's a level that's even beyond the definitive version of Hashem, how we see him. And Yom Kippur, when we do Teshuva, it's coming from a place that's even higher than Havaya. It's higher than Hashem's Ratzain, because Hashem's Ratzain is that we should do mitzvahs, but even if we don't do mitzvah, we're still given a certain level of teshuva. So those are the ideas, that's the example of how each of them are on the level of Geirel.
Right, because they're reaching a level that's higher than Hishtal, so it's higher than Hashem's Seichel and Ratzain, right?
Okay, and it actually draws down a certain level that's a higher and could be also a more positive level, which is coming to Ice Hay now. The next question is, what was Haman's intention if he knew that, you know, this level is a greater level than Hashem's intellect, is a greater level than Hashem's will, and it's such a high level that it even gives Jewish people teshuvah on Yom Kippur. If he knew that it was such a high and lofty level, why would he choose to do a lottery to figure out the day that Purim would happen on?
Right. Meaning, like, this is all a really nice answer about how this Geirel and lottery is such a lofty level, and that's why Purim's called that. But, like, at the end of the day, the lottery that the literal reason why it's called lottery in the Megillah is because Haman threw lotteries. Like, why would he throw? Like, that's right. What we're calling Purim after, is a lottery that Haman threw, right? So, like, that makes this make sense.
Okay, perfect. So let's dive in. It says on Ice Hay, it says, Mehaisa Sivarasa Shel Haman Rasha. What then was the intent of Haman the wicked, Sheh Kitrig Al Hiyahudim, who sought to make a kitrig on the Jewish people? Lahapil Pur Hu HaGairol, in casting the Pur, the lottery. Haman knew this background information. Gam Tzarech Lahavin Ma Shekasev Al King Karu Layamim Ha'ila Purim Al Shem HaPur. So we also now have to understand what the Pasuk says. For this reason, the days were called Purim in memory of the lot, because Hapur We're going to skip a little here. The law cast by Haman was obviously something not desirable. Then why are these days called Purim to recall that lot? From the standpoint of Seder Shtalshalos, since on this level Hashem established a pattern and a structure, so from the level of Seder Shtalshalos, human beings are actually significant. Ikar hashpa hili Yisrael, and Hashem's outpouring of energy is specifically toward the Jewish people. Lefisha Yisrael hei mekayamim taira u'mitzvahs, because the Jewish people observe taira and mitzvahs. Afilu elu sheheim hefech tzedikim, even those who are the opposite of righteous. Let's skip a little more. Bekevan shegam Haman harasha, even Haman the wicked, yada shala achre kol hakitrugim shekitrig al Yisrael, knew that despite all the kitrugim, how would you translate that? Accusations,
decrees
that he would level against the Jewish people. Ein shum dimyon beinai ubein Yisrael. There is no comparison between him and the Jewish people. So this is the reason why he chose to do a gyro. Shalchein mitzad hadarga deshtalshos. Therefore, according to the level of this being on Seder Shtalshos, ein shayach shahaman harasha yinatzeah chas b'shalom as Yisrael. There's no possibility of Haman prevailing over the Jewish people. For even the lowest among them are filled with mitzvahs, like a pomegranate is filled with seeds. Lachain, therefore, hipil pur hu agarol. He cast a pur, a lot, because he thought that pur is a level above Seder Hishtalshalos. Since on this level of elokus that transcends Seder Hishtalshalos, ein ma'aseh tachtanim tefes makom, the actions of the created beings are not significant, and all are equal, like darkness is light. Therefore, Chashav, he thought, that by accessing the level of Gairal, which is above Seder Hishtalshalos, there would be a possibility for him to prevail, God forbid, over the Jewish people. Fascinating thought process, Haman.
Right, I think this is so interesting that this idea of Gairal has like two sides to it. Like on the one hand, when we reach this level that's so beyond like Seichel and so beyond even Hashem's Ratzain, right? And that's why we can like get forgiveness for our sins, because there's a place in Hashem that's even deeper than his desire for us to do the right thing, right? So on the one hand, that seems like so lofty and great, but on the flip side of that, like when we reach that level, it's almost like, but then good and evil don't matter anymore, right? Like, it's almost like, okay, Hashem doesn't have a rut sign for mitzvahs. Hashem doesn't have a rut sign for the right, you know, good people to do good things and not bad things. Good and evil are all the same. So it's almost like, in a way, it's also like a very scary place, right? Because It leaves room for almost anything, any eventuality, right? Because it's beyond Hashem's rut sign, right? That's sort of, I guess, the way Haman.
Which makes us wonder, how does that even make sense? Because we are coming from the perspective of knowing that Hashem created this world and every action of ours is significant. So how does it make sense that there's even this level of Gairal that's beyond all equality, that's beyond all choice, seemingly?
Right.
Which is what we're going to discover a little more.
Right. Meaning like I mean, at this point, it almost seems like ultimately Hashem doesn't really care. Like Hashem doesn't really have a desire. And is that true? Like maybe Haman was right. Like that's almost it seems almost like that would be logical, right? Like we know Hashem is so great and so beyond and so infinite, right? So why should he really care that the good people win and the bad people lose, right? Like does that, maybe that doesn't really matter at the end of the day on an ultimate level, you know?
Right. Okay, so let's see what it says in Eis Ches.
Yes, this is the climax.
You're getting excited. I see it. Okay, so here we go. V'hine, k'may shegarel hu l'mayla me'aseichel, u'lmayla gam me'heratzon. Just as lottery is above intellect, seichel, and it's above ratzon, will, said before. Adarach zeh hu b'negei l'abchira. Similar concepts apply with regard to free choice, b'chira, shehu l'mayla me'aseichel, which is also above intellect, u'lmayla me'heratzon, and also above will. זה כאשר שכלי מחייב שדבר זה ראי לבחר בי. When a person's mind determines that a given object is worthy of being chosen, וגם כשהוא רוצה באיזה דבר, and also when he wants something, רצון שלמעלה מהשכל, with a will that goes beyond שכל, logic, הרי הוא מוכרח בזה, he is forced to choose it, ואין זה בחיר חפשיס, and this is not free choice. So right now we're trying to figure out what is free choice, because we just discussed chiral, which is randomness, and now we want to know what's free choice, because we're going to come to a conclusion later that perhaps Hashem did not make this random holiday that happened at random, but there was actually something more there. So let's delve into free choice. Vamitis inin abechir hu. The concept of free choice is kishabechir shelai he lay mitzad asecha v'gam lay mitzad haratzon. It's when one chooses not because of your intellectual thought process that this is cheaper and therefore I'm going to buy it, and it's not because you have an inner desire for it that you only wear the color green because you love green so much, so you just feel so connected to it, so therefore you have to choose that. Ela shekach baicher bebchira say hachavshis, but he chooses entirely out of his own free choice, without the object having any influence over him at all. Vehachilik bein gairol ubechirahu, but and the difference between a gairol lottery and free choice is the kesher adam aisa gairol machlet techmai sheipul hagairol kenyer etzaynim. When a person casts a lottery and decides whatever comes out is
will determine his ratzon. Right.
Haratzon shelai hu lo mitzad adam. The person's desire doesn't come from his own self. It's not about him, ella, but mipnei shekein nafal hagairol. It's determined by whatever the outcome outside of him was, by whatever the lottery result came out as. Bechira hu he sha adam hu abaycher. By contrast, with bechira, a person chooses. He himself is choosing from his inner intrinsic self, and we're going to explain what that means. So first of all, we also are going to understand where does free choice fall on this ladder of seder hashtalshlus or beyond that. So we discussed already that seichel is a certain level, and above that is ratzayin. Above that is gairol, and now we're going to find out a little more about bechira, free choice, and how that ties into this whole mimer. Mizeh muvan de bechira hu lemaila, hi lemaila me gairol. From above, it's understood that free choice is on a level higher than gairol, than lottery. De gairol hu hadarga banefesh shehi mugderes umuchrachas bezeh sheshnei hadvarim heim shavim legaba. A lottery is a level in the soul that is defined and forced by the soul to regard two different alternatives as equal. The inin abchira hu she'enai mugdar u'muchrach b'eze dvarim. But free choice is that the person himself or herself who's choosing is not defined by any outside factor, including the perspective that everything, all choices, all objects or all choices or whatever is happening are equal to him, the same. And it's possible for him to choose whatever he desires. So we were discussing this earlier that I think it was Yael Khan who gave an example of free choice. Do you know what I'm talking about? What is free choice from Hashem's perspective? It's a two-year-old.
Sure. I think we actually saw this in an article that we read, that this example that Rabbi Yael Khan gives, which at first glance, the example seems like a little jarring, right? Like, why are you comparing Hashem to a two-year-old? Like, that seems, But the idea being that, like, a toddler, they're, like, when they want something, it's not so much about the thing that they want, right? It's more about this expression of themselves, right? It's like they newly discovered that they're an independent being outside their parents. And that when they like decide that they want something, that's sort of like an expression of that I. So like, it doesn't really matter what it is that they want. And even if you offer them something much better, it's or offer them the same thing, right? Like it's like their ice cream balls on the floor and you offer them another ice cream, it's exactly identical to the other one. They're just still gonna have a tantrum, right? Because it's not really about this thing. It's not a rational decision that like this ice cream is tastes good. That's why I want it. The desire is just like what's felt in that desire is all about the I, right? Themselves, right? They're feeling themselves in what they want, right? So, and similarly, when we talk about Bechira, Bechira means that Hashem can choose something not because there's anything about that thing that's unique or special or is sort of compelling Hashem, so to speak, to choose it, but just that choice is purely an expression of himself, like who he right. is. And I think like what's so profound about what you just read about like the difference between Bechira and Gairol is that like Gairol is almost saying like, oh, Hashem is so great, Hashem is so infinite, so like everything must be random, right? Like there must, like how could Hashem really care, right? It's like, think about world events right now. Like, does Hashem really care like what exactly happens, like how the politics works out or like how, or even like or even how, in our own life.
How an individual, where that person goes, where they escape to.
Right. Yeah. Like what happens in that, every detail of that individual person's life. Like how could Hashem himself on the ultimate level, like really care? But in a way, when we're saying that, we're saying we're almost like limiting Hashem to this place of beyondness of like, oh, things have to be random to him, right? Mm-hmm. Like Gairol saying like, oh, it's arbitrary, like you were saying before, right? Like this choice, it doesn't really matter. I can't really, there's nothing, neither of these really are better than the other. So the whole thing is just arbitrary when I'm going
to
choose.
We're putting Hashem into the box of it has to be random.
Right, right. And like saying Bechira is saying like Hashem can choose coming from himself, not because there's anything about the thing that's compelling him, but like Hashem has the ability to have a true Bechira. A true Bechira means that I'm choosing this because I want to choose it. Because like this is an expression of me, right? And I'm not forced to be limited to this randomness, right?
So what the Mimer is doing right now is introducing the idea that Purim was actually on a level of Hashem's Bechira. And Hashem's choice, the inner, I'm not going to say will, but the inner essence of Hashem is actually, and this is the crux and the core and the most exciting part of the Mimer, is the Jewish people. And so naturally, right. He chose us in the Purim story.
Right.
So Haman thought, I'm going to do Gairol. And Haman did a Gairol. But this level of Gairol, from Hashem's perspective, it was a Gairol, but the chance will always fall upon the Jewish people because that is Hashem's essence. Right. I don't know if that's a level we can attain. Is it?
Well, I think it is in the sense, meaning, isn't that the last part of the Mimer where the part we didn't read yet in the ice test,
oh, yeah.
Right? Where it talks about our, meaning we have a parallel, like a reciprocal relationship in this sense with Hashem, right?
Right. Okay, let's go there.
Yeah.
Okay, so ice tests. This is the exciting part, the most exciting part. Here we go.
As a result of the Maseres Nefesh of the Jewish people over the course of the entire year, for the service of Maseres Nefesh comes from the essence of the Neshama, reflecting the essential choice of the Neshama of Hashem's essence, Atmos. Ayodei zeh, nimshach v'neskala b'chiras ha'atmos b'Yisrael. Through this was brought out and revealed the essential choice of Hashem, that being the Jewish people. So it was Mesiras Nefesh that brought out this idea of
Hashem's Bechira being us. I'm just going to finish up quickly. As a result of this choice, the Gairal from above brought about a situation where the Jewish people enjoyed Ayra v'simcha, light and happiness, v'sasan v'kar. And Haman was hanged on the gallows, Haman and his sons. Fascinating.
Right, I think this is so cool that, yeah, like this level of Bechira is something that we all can tap into in our relationship with Hashem. Yeah, I actually think it's interesting, like, because we kind of, the way we went through this mimer is we sort of went through those four levels of, like, Seichel, Ratzon, Gairal, and Bechira. I feel like it's interesting to reflect on those levels within our Judaism, you know, within the way we relate to Hashem. Like, we have one level of our Yiddishkeit that's about Seichel, you know, like, this feels meaningful or feels enriching or feel like I choose this, I choose to live this way because, like, it makes sense to me or it enriches my life in whatever way, gives my life meaning, you know.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. Yeah, and then there's like a level of like Ratzon. I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud here, like you know, where you just feel sort of this, you're drawn to it in some way.
There's something a connection about, maybe you grew up with it, maybe you didn't, but there's something there.
Yeah, like some sort of, you're like drawn to it and some like inner, some sort of inner draw towards this lifestyle, you know. And then there's Gairal, and I think like how Gairal fits, and I almost feel like Gairal is that level of like,
well, like sometimes, who cares? Sometimes you're like, who cares? What does it matter? Let's just do it. Not because let's just do it, but
or let's just not, like the Haman is almost like saying, who cares? So like, I could also just not do it, right? Yeah. It's like, I guess like that's what Amalek is.
Therefore,
right?
I'm going to do it. If you're talking from the perspective of us related to our Judaism,
right? Right, but also like I'm saying, like, and when Haman was reaching a level of Gairal, like his mistake was that at that level, like maybe Hashem doesn't really care, right? And I feel like in ourselves we almost have that also. Like there could be a point when sometimes you can like look at your life and say like it almost seems like okay, like I happened to choose this, but like I could have had a different lifestyle also. Like I could have just lived a totally different life, and like would it really matter, you know?
Right.
And then I guess like Bechira is that like at the deepest level, we choose this not because of any of those things, you know, like there is an essential choice that like
we choose it because it's us. I mean,
right.
Amazing. It's a great example.
Yeah. Also like just tying it back to what you brought at the beginning about, you know, the story of the mimer. Like, I think that's really powerful that, yeah, with the just events that are occur in history, like there's a bechir, right? There's a clear direction. Like Hashem is guiding it, not necessarily because there's something about, you know, this person or this thing. Like sometimes we kind of feel like, oh, well, why would Hashem make this good thing happen for me right now? Like, what? Who? Like, does it really matter? You know?
Right. I guess the bechira for us is what you just said, that Hashem is guiding us. It's not that there's something in the world that is compelling us to choose something. It's coming from the essential part of us, which is Hashem.
Right. And to know that Hashem has the same, chooses us in the same way, you know?
So just to sum up, I guess our initial questions were, why is Purim called Purim? Why is it called lottery? And the answer would be because essentially there was a lottery. It was up to Hashem whether or not the Jews would be saved or they would not be saved in the Purim story. But the crazy thing is that the lottery in Hashem's perspective is his Bechira, which is that he's always going to choose the Jewish people. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's almost like the lottery is, it's like the, what is it? The lottery's rigged. Like,
yeah. But it's still a lottery. It's not rigged. That's the thing.
Well it's set. It's meaning it's always going to fall out in the right way.
So it's like a weighted die.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, because then it's not a lottery. I think it's just that it's like statistical analysis. Like statistics would say that the outcome is that it's probably never going to be 0 to 100, but it's always just going to end up 100.
Right, but the fact that Hashem had that bechira makes it rigged. Like, meaning not rigged in the sense, meaning it's there
but
is
then it's
this...
not a lottery. So what's the whole point of Purim being a poor? How is it a lottery? Obviously it is, because we learned this mimer. So now explain to me, what am I missing?
I think it's still a lottery because... the only thing... meaning... in truth, it's random, right? That's... the, meaning from the perspective... from our angle, from the perspective of the world, it's random, right? Mm-hmm. Good and evil, right? Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't actually matter. Good and evil are all really the same, right? It's Hashem's invention, what good and evil are, right?
Okay.
But it's only from the perspective of the core of who Hashem is that it does matter, right? So, like, there is a girl in the sense that, like, there is this, meaning from, yes, there's this randomness, but it's not random because Hashem decided it's not going to be random. Uh-huh. Like, because Hashem's not limited to that reality of randomness, Hashem can decide that it's actually not, like, the lottery is going to fall in a certain way.
Amazing. Wow. That is great.
Well, Shandel, thanks so much for coming on and taking the opportunity for me to re-explore this mimer. It's been really fun.
Thanks. It's been a lot of fun for me too. I really enjoyed it. All right.
Happy Purim.
Happy Purim.